Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yesham
natushto bhagavan
yagyalingo janardana tesham shramo hyapartaya Yad Atma Nadritak Swayam
Yesham Natushto Bhagavan
Yagyalingo Janardana
Tesham Shramo Hyapartaya
Yad Atma Nadritak Swayam
Yesham.
Of those with whom?
Never.
Tushtaha.
Satisfied.
Bhagavan. The personality of Godhead.
Yagyalingaha,
the form of sacrifice.
Janardanaha,
Lord Krishna,
or the Vishnu Tattva.
Tesham,
of them.
Shramaha,
labor.
He certainly. Apartaya,
without profit.
Yat,
because.
Atma,
the supreme soul.
Not.
Adritaha,
respected.
Swayam,
his own self.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardhan, Lord Krishna, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interests.
Purport.
Brahma is deputed as the supreme head of universal affairs, and he is in his turn deputes Manu and others as charge d'affaires of the material manifestation. But the whole show is for the satisfaction of the supreme personality of Godhead. Brahma knows how to satisfy the Lord, and similarly, persons engaged in the line of Brahma's plan of activities also know how to satisfy the Lord. The Lord is satisfied by the process of devotional service, consisting of the ninefold processes of hearing, chanting, etc. It is in one's own self-interest to execute prescribed devotional service, and anyone who neglects the process neglects his own self-interest. Everyone wants to satisfy his senses. But above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence. Above the intelligence is the individual self. And above the individual self is the super-self. Above even the super-self is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva. The primeval Lord and the cause of all causes is Sri Krishna. The complete process of perfectional service is to render service for the satisfaction of the transcendental senses of Lord Krishna, who is known as Janardhan.
Krishna is not an egomaniac. It is appropriate that everyone should work to satisfy Krishna, to give him pleasure, because he's not an oppressive exploiter. When he's satisfied, everybody's satisfied. Yasmin tushte jagat tushtam. When he is satisfied, the whole world's satisfied. Certainly the person who is reciprocating him with him in loving service is satisfied when Krishna is satisfied. In fact, the pleasure the devotee experiences is more than Krishna's pleasure. So such a person can justify, please me, the demand, when he can please you more than he gets pleased. That's a fair reciprocation. It's not what we call exploitation. Exploitation is when the employer extracts from you so much labor and pays you a minimum wage. You know, and he makes a profit. So he's the benefiter. But if you get more, if he was to pay you more than he gets profit, that would be bad business. No capitalist would do that. Maybe some philanthropist would pay the laborer more than profit is made from his labor. But that's what Krishna does. He gives more than he gets. So therefore, he can demand or recommend, please me. Everybody should please Krishna. And Lord Brahma is perfectly reasonable in passing on this request of Krishna's, that yes, everybody should do this. Otherwise, we're in material life, especially in the modern world, which is so wrong. We're encouraged, we're taught, everything is arranged, that we're supposed to pursue our own selfish satisfaction. Not even anymore serve your country, serve your family, serve your men. No, just get money, buy things, stuff your face, and enjoy it. That's all. That's our modern civilization. Our culture is the culture of the shopping mall. That's all there is. We used to say that's America, but now it's the whole world. Even India. In the big cities. Even you know, the socialist countries have given up their socialism and they've gone American. So, Prabhupada is belittling that everyone wants to satisfy his senses. So we should understand philosophically, the senses are inferior. This is an inferior concept of who you are, that you're just a bundle of senses meant to be gratified. This is stupid life. That you're just squeezing, you know, massaging your senses, thinking that that's the pleasure of life. It's not. It's not the real self, and that's not the real pleasure of the self. So this is all discussed scientifically in the Upanishads, particularly the Taittiriya Upanishad. The theme of the Taittiriya Upanishad, when it gets to it, is ananda, pleasure. So this is a very relevant kind of philosophy, not just some idle speculation over how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, but what is of real interest to real people. People want to be happy and they don't want to be miserable. So where is the happiness? What is the real happiness? Where is it found? Ananda. So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu were living in Navadvip. They would like to just go out and wander about the city and visit various people. And they didn't care only to visit respectable Brahmins. They wanted to give their mercy to everyone in Navadvip, at least everyone who was non-envious. Once they went, they were invited to visit a sannyasi's house. But he was not a proper sannyasi. They went to his house, Yeah. And he offered them, can I give you some Ananda? Jayanova said, sure. Ananda, we want that. But Nityananda Prabhu, he was, you know, he had traveled as a avaduta himself. He knew what these sannyasis were like. And he whispered to Mahaprabhu, he means he wants to give you some you know, liquor. This is what he means by Ananda. And Mahaprabhu was shocked. So the two of them jumped out of the window and escaped. Yeah. So this is one conception of Ananda, is, you know, some intoxicating beverage. There are various ideas of what is pleasure, what is the source of pleasure. Of course, this is metaphorical. You call the thing that gives you pleasure, pleasure. That's just metaphorical use of the word, the source of Ananda. There is a Ayurvedic aspirin substitute that's manufactured and used to be manufactured in Vrindavan. It's called Anandakara. Makes bliss. Anyway, the Chaitanya Upanishad discusses the topic of Ananda and how the various kinds of Ananda. First of all, though, it clarifies the different relative conceptions of the self. Purusho soyam anandarasamayaha. This person, in other words, who we think we are generally, is just an amalgamate of, what is it? Rasamaya. Water, bodily fluids, bodily tissues. You know, this is the physical body, and we generally identify with it as ourself. This is called the purusha. This is what we think as a man, a human being. The flesh. But the Taittiriya Upanishad then points out that tasmadi tasmad purusha mayad anyo antara purusha. There's another person who's inside, who's the more real. It's ananda, anamaya purusha is gross material conception. It's the mentality of animals and infants. They only live to gratify their senses. And our civilization has developed very nicely to the point that we become like animals and infants. In our unwillingness to even postpone our gratification. And life is just for immediate gratification of the senses. This is anamaya platform. The most primitive consciousness. So inside that anamaya purusha is the more real person. Pranamaya. He actually gives life to the dead body, this anamaya so-called person. It's just a dead body. And it's the prana that's giving life to it. So the body composed of prana, this is the body of the vital body, the living body. Then it's pointed out, actually, there's no consciousness in that prana. That inside the pranic body, there's the more real body of mind. Gyanamaya Purusha. That's the real person. Well, so far, the most real person we've seen. But that mind is also a subtle, dead material element. The real consciousness is found in the person, inside the person, inside the person. The Vijnanamaya Purusha. This is the spirit soul. So it's the satisfaction of the soul that is the real source of pleasure. But then it's pointed out there's a fifth person. The Anandamaya Purusha. So who's that Anandamaya Purusha? The Mayavadis read the Taittiriya Upanishad and interpret it that the jiva has to break his shell. This says he has to give up his identification with the gross body, with the mental, with the pranic body, with the mental body, and with then, oh, he has to also give up his identity as an individual spirit soul and realize that he's one with the absolute truth and merge. That's the Mayavadi interpretation of the Upanishad. But it's wrong. Vyasadeva points it out in the Vedanta Sutra. Anandamayo abhyasat. Who's the Anandamaya? It's not the jiva who realizing that he's really Brahman. It's the Absolute Truth himself, who's beyond the individual jiva. And that's the personality of Godhead. He's also person. If the first four are persons, why not the fifth one, who's the real one, the one who's inside all the others, he's not a person? He's only impersonal? No, the Upanishad is pointing out. Ananda is a quality, a personal quality. People experience ananda. Machines, rocks don't. You can program the computer to show a face and smile, but it's not experiencing any pleasure. No matter what claims we have to having developed artificial intelligence, we have not developed the feeling of pleasure in any machine. It can't be done. Science fiction may imagine it, but it cannot be done. Consciousness belongs only to the living beings, the spirit soul and the supreme soul. Self-realization is good. It's the beginning of spiritual life. To realize that I should satisfy the self. But if you only satisfy yourself, or if you misidentify yourself as the Supreme Self, and then try to satisfy yourself by pretending to be God, you're going to run into trouble. Even if you don't do that, if you don't understand that there's the fifth person, and you just work to satisfy the fourth person, namely yourself, if you ignore the fifth person, then what pleasure can you get? Great, I'm spirit soul. What am I going to do about it? Just bask in my own light? The jiva doesn't have much potency. He doesn't have that much capacity to enjoy ananda. He'll enjoy a lot more ananda than he would identifying with his material body. Just by giving up that false conception, he'll get a lot of relief. So just like the anandakar pill, it gets rid of your headache and you think you're in bliss because you don't have a headache. But just getting rid of the headache is not real, true bliss. There's something more positive. And the jiva soul doesn't have much capacity to achieve that on his own. Satyam, the Upanishad goes on. This Taittiriya Upanishad explains a lot of things, very, very, very important things about devotional service, about Krishna's position, about our position, and the relationship between us, and the real purpose of life, ananda. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. This is generally quoted by the Mayavadis following Shankaracharya as a definition of the impersonal absolute truth. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Brahma is truth, and satyam jnanam, consciousness and bliss, eternal. So that sounds nice and impersonal. But then, the next sentence is, yo veda nihitam guhayam, so shnute sarvan kaman sahabramana vipaschita. One who understands this Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, Nikitam Guhayam, hiding inside his own heart, who realizes that Brahman within his own heart, he can enjoy all varieties of fulfillment of desire. That's Ananda. Fulfillment of his desires, all desires. In the company, Saha, Brahmana Vipaschita, along with, in the company of the omniscient Brahman, absolute truth. So, how can this not be a description of the living entity enjoying the reciprocation of devotional service with the Supreme Lord? That's what you're supposed to realize. That's what Satyam Jnanam Anantam leads to. As you develop your relationship with him,
eating a book, okay. Or eating a map of Vraja or something.
Yeah, don't let him eat the map of Vraja. This is real happiness. When we realize the fifth person, then the fourth person can really become happy. On his own, he can't become that happy. Yes, it's said in that Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad, that the bliss of human beings is like one unit. The bliss of the Gandharvas, there's two different kinds of the Gandharvas, the human Gandharvas and the Deva Gandharvas. So the lower class Gandharvas, they enjoy 1,000 times more. They have 1,000 times better ecstasy than ordinary human beings. And then the high-class Gandharvas get 1,000 times more than that. Prajapatis get 1,000 times more than that. And then so-and-so, Brahma, gets 1,000 times more than that. And then the soul has 1,000 times more than that. And the supreme soul has the most bliss. And if you join with that, and it says, and what we just said, if you can realize him in your heart, then you can enjoy along with him. He'll share his enjoyment with you. So this is what we should understand. That if we don't, if we do, putting it positively, if we do revive our relationship with the Supreme Lord, we'll be happy. And we won't be happy trying to squeeze pleasure out of dead objects in this material world, including our own body. That's simply it. Okay, so I'll stop. Any questions or comments?
You mentioned that there's two kinds of
Gandharvas. There are two. Well, there probably have a few kinds.
It means like one's Upadevas and
one's... No, they're Upadevas.
They're
but they're gradations of them. Some of them are higher than others. Yeah. Just classes of Gandharvas.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of them may live on the earth. In the Himalayas, up in the upper regions of the Himalayas, is like the pathway to heaven, and Gandharvas, Rakshasas, Yakshas live in that region. And then others live higher up in the atmosphere. So that might be the, you know, according to that division.
What does it mean, this Anandamaya Abhyasa? Abhyasa means from practice?
Well, according to most of the commentaries, probably all the commentaries on Vedanta Sutra, beginning with Shankaracharya's, Abhyasat is the principle that comes from the Jaimini's system of interpreting scripture, the hermeneutics of the Mimamsa school. There are six standard ways of deciding what a long passage of text is actually talking about, what the actual topic is. You know, there are ways to understand what a sentence means. That's described by the grammarians. But then when you have a composition of more than one sentence, how do you decide what the real theme of the section is for Karanam? So there's six principles given by Jaimini. Upakrama upasamharo abhyaso purvata palam upapaticha shadvidam something lingam. There's six kinds of symptoms, signs by which you see what the real meaning is, the purport of a long passage. So upakrama means beginning, upasamhara means the end. If something is mentioned at the beginning of the text, that's a sign. If something is mentioned at the end, that's a sign that it may be the topic. If it's mentioned both at the beginning and at the end, that's a pretty good sign. Abhyasa is the next symptom mentioned. If something's mentioned repeatedly, so abhyasa there means repetition. If something's mentioned repeatedly, that's a good sign that it's the... that it's the topic of the whole passage. I think they're in diminishing order of importance, so that's the second best sign. First best sign if something's mentioned at the beginning and end. But if it's not, if the beginning and don't mention the same thing, then you can try the second sign. There's something mentioned repeatedly. So the identification of the Anandamaya Purusha as Brahman, not the spirit soul, not the individual soul, the finite soul, is made several times in that chapter of the Upanishad. That's abhyasa. The Anandamaya is Brahman, not the jiva, because that fact is stated repeatedly. Okay? And the actual theme, the actual, what the whole Upanishad is, or at least that chapter of the Upanishad is aiming at describing, is the absolute truth. Even though there are five different purushas mentioned. It's the last Purusha who's the real one, the real soul. I maybe call myself the soul of my body, but the soul of souls is Krishna. I actually consider myself part of his body. So the ultimate soul is the Anandamaya Purusha, and Vyasadeva tries to establish that logically by the principle that it's mentioned, that it in fact is mentioned repeatedly, or that identification is indicated repeatedly, the identification of the Anandamaya with Brahman. Therefore, we take that as clear enough evidence that that's what's being talked about, the Absolute Truth, and that the Anandamaya Purusha is the Absolute Truth. Okay.
Sometimes we always quote that verse as referring to the jiva is always looking for Ananda.
That also can be read into that. The jiva is, because the Supreme Self is Anandamaya, we're also Anandamaya. We share that quality with him. And we can say by nature, but that's not the interpretation generally given in the commentaries when they're actually commenting, explaining that sutra. Okay, so we stop here. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.